That's right, sports nerds. You know what time it is. We're on Eastern Game Time, and it's go o'clock. Damn, I love our theme song. Our theme song is fucking really awesome.
It is good. I mean, if the Pacific Rim, if we could get the license to use that, that'd
we
be
got
awesome.
5 seconds in.
Yeah!
5 fucking seconds before Elliot's mentioning Pacific
is there
Rim.
Any music in Pacific Rim?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Dun,
the composer was from LSU, I think.
Yep. Take a drink.
Well, I just want
everybody to get drunk right now.
I want to thank Mr. Aaron Jeffers once again for putting that song together. This is Inside the Locker right here on oneofus.net. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. This is the only weekly sportscast that recognizes that while there is no I in team, there is an FU in midichlorians. I am Brian Salisbury, so do with that what you will. And I am joined by Elliot the Lawyer.
Hey, what's up?
By JC the Lion.
What is up?
And by Adam the Neighbor.
Hello.
I like these titles are cool. I like these titles.
You're welcome.
The Neighbor? It's like a serial killer.
Hey, Wilson
you
was
a child molester.
You could be worse. That's entirely true. But yeah, we were the geeks who in high school got stuffed into our lockers. But much to the chagrin of the jocks, we studied up on sports while we were in there. And now we're some form of nerd-jock hybrid that would make Ripley throw up in her mouth.
Hey, I was in marching band. That makes me a jock, right?
Nah.
No, but well, my mom said I was a jock.
You did have the most carries of a sousaphone, but I don't think that counts.
I did juggle a lot of balls, so what can I say?
You were probably holding a job.
I don't even need to make the jokes anymore. We are here to bring you the latest in news and commentary from around the wild world of sports, but with a decidedly geeky twist. I want to remind you that Inside the Locker, just like all of our One of Us content, is available on iTunes. All you got to do is go there, search for One of Us in the podcast section. While you're there, why not give us a 5-star rating and leave a review? We will start reading the 5-star ones on the air. I do not have one for today, because I forgot to get one. And you can also follow us on Twitter at ITLcast, and we also would encourage you highly to become a subscriber to One of Us Net. You'll see that on the right-hand side in the sidebar. You can go there, give $1 to $25 every month. You can cancel any time, or just make a one-time donation, whatever you can afford. We'd really appreciate it. Helps us keep bringing this content to you. And speaking of things that help us continue to bring content, watch a movie with us this month is all horror films. Right now we have up Halloween and Carrie, and I know that probably by the time this posts there's going to be another one, but in case it's not, I don't want to ruin the surprise. But suffice to say, it's a really fun movie with an incredibly fun guest you guys will all really love. And yeah, those are $1.99 a piece. So if you're going to watch horror movies this Halloween, why not watch them with us?
Yeah, and I wanted to say just a little bit about it, because I actually have a subscription to several websites, and the way I sort of think about it is like, if I'm willing to pay $5 for a movie, I enjoy One of Us and Rage Select and, you know, like This American Life, stuff like that, all just hours on end, so I can throw a few bucks.
Yeah, and Elliot is absolutely right, which is something I don't say terribly.
That was weird to hear.
Yeah, that felt weird when I was forming
it's
the
like
words.
A shower.
I have definitely contributed to much dumber things on Kickstarter for much more money. So.
Or it's like, you know, you see like T-Fury or Shirt Punch shirts, and you're like, I have to have this shirt.
Yeah.
And then if you buy, you're like, I shouldn't have bought that.
Best part is when you become a subscriber or buy one of the Watch a Movie with Us commentaries, we didn't even charge you shipping.
Nice.
It's amazing. We also don't ship anything.
It's also a lot cheaper than a plane ticket.
That's true. That's very true. Enough whoring, though. Before I blather on any further...
But I like this street corner. It's nice.
There is a nice street corner. Let's crack open a few as we plunge into the beer bucket.
Ice cold beer, yeah?
Gents, what are we drinking?
I am drinking this banana bread beer in a glass with ice to drive Ryan crazy, because also I like beer with ice.
That was a gift from Mr. Zach Martin, who is a recent guest on oneofus.show. Hopefully that is up by the time you're hearing this.
And thank you so much, because this is good.
Yeah, it's damn good. JC, what do you got?
I'm drinking a cherry Coke, but I sampled the banana nut bread beer, and it's pretty good.
Adam, do you also have the banana nuts?
I do have also the banana nuts. I just want to read something on the side, though, which I just noticed. Long ago, because we should read things.
I love it.
Long,
do it.
Long ago, ale was known as liquid bread.
You mean shiner.
That's true. Well, you know what? You know what's great about beer is that at one point in our civilization's history, it saved us because of all the infected water. I mean, drinking any water from any stream. At some points, if you were one of the bog people in Ireland, or, you know, other various regions across the world, could kill you. So in comes the White Knight, or the red ale, if you will, and saves civilization.
I'm just thinking of a drunk William Wallace now.
You can take my life, but you will never take my porter. Anyway, that is the beer bucket. As you can probably tell, I am still not drinking in an effort to shed some poundage.
Hey, but just to say, I saw this.
Oh, thank you.
This man is losing weight pretty fast.
I am trying. I'm trying to go for, like, the Tom Hanks diet in, what was that movie? Philadelphia.
Damn, just gonna get AIDS?
Yeah, I'm trying. Basically, I'm trying to look
it's
like
the
an
AIDS,
AIDS
diet.
Yeah.
It's like on South Park. Yeah. Brian has AIDS.
I'm just trying to get down to a reasonable AIDS weight. I don't see why that's such a big deal.
As long as you don't go full Christian Bale with Machinist.
In The Machinist?
Don't go full Christian Bale.
I don't think I have the commitment for that.
So we got syringes over here.
It's like, the trick to his diet is heroin.
Well, now that we're good and sloshed, or at least most of us are, we are ready to greet the week's sports and movie news in a little game we like to call the crossover.
Is there American House? Oh, he just got crossed over!
Crossover, children! All are welcome!
Yes, that is the sound effect that I have chosen for the crossover. And this week, we're doing things a little bit differently. We actually have a special guest contestant. Yes, so we're going to play this game with one of our listeners to see if he can win the prize, which we will keep secret until we know whether or not he wins. And our guest, our first contestant, all the way from the frozen north, an ice fortress of hockey and affordable healthcare we like to call Canada, is Mr. Ryan Brace. Ryan, welcome to the show.
How's it going, eh?
Ryan will
really
be.
You say that?
Yeah, we're inquisitive people. We're very inquisitive people.
They end every sentence with a question, so I guess that is true. Ryan will be very disappointed to know that we are not talking about hockey at all on this week's show.
Curling.
It's all curling. Yeah. Whatever the fuck curling is. So
sweeping.
In case you've never listened to the show before, which why the fuck aren't you listening to the show? Goddammit. Here's how the game works. I'm going to give you a joke headline for each of our news stories, and your job is to determine whether this is a movie story or a sports story. How many do we have in total? I think there's like, we have five? No, we have six. So I'm going to say get 4 out of 6 right, and you win.
All right.
All right, are you ready to play?
Sure.
And don't look at my computer.
And don't look at JC's computer.
I'm winning, like, citizenship, right?
Yes, you're winning citizenship.
All right, cool.
Just that easy.
You're a citizen of Canada.
That's how that works.
Why would you want to be a citizen of the United States? Canada's like United States plus.
Yeah, but I'm from French Canada, so it's a silly place.
That's a very silly place. Yeah. All right, so the first headline is entitled, White Men Can't Jump. Is that a news story about sports or about movies?
My guts tell me sports.
That is correct, and JC is here to fill us in with more details on this story.
So, every year before the season, all of the general managers in the NBA conduct a survey in which they predict how the season will go. They pick the winner, the MVP. They also have an award called... It's not really an award. They have a category called... Which player makes the most of limited natural ability?
So even if you win this award, apart from the more troubling subtext of the award we're about to get into, even winning this award is pretty much a slap in the face.
Yeah, and for the third year in a row, the winner was Kevin Love of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And
wait, so this is his third year in a row to win?
Third year in a row, and he might have won, it might be 4 out of 5 years.
Is there anything...
Doesn't that almost immediately qualify you as having too much talent for this award?
If you keep winning the award, yeah, I think so.
Having the award named after you at that point?
Is there any sort of... JC, is there any sort of pattern you're noticing to the people who receive this award that might make it a bit controversial?
Yeah, well, so I feel like nobody was really comfortable with talking about this until Kevin Love himself tweeted that it's called the White Guy Award.
It is pretty much... The White Guy Award, which is a double-ended dildo of racism here, because everybody's getting fucked on this. First of all, there is the assumption that if you are white, you naturally have less talent at the game of basketball, even if you are, let's say, Kevin Love and are extremely talented at the game of basketball. And on the other side of that is... Black people aren't allowed to win this award, apparently. Yeah. I don't understand.
Of the last 10 years, 9 of the winners have been white, the only one being Bruce Bowen, and he
does have fairly limited ability.
Great defensive player, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, if your method of playing defense is putting your foot underneath a jumping guy, then yeah, that's good defense.
It's fantastic.
Hey,
it wins championships.
Whatever works, I guess. Hopefully the powers that be behind this award, who apparently have been meeting ever since and still think it is 1961, get behind the idea that maybe this is a completely worthless award that doesn't have any bearing, and in fact hurts progress more than it does any good for this game.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet next year this question is left off the survey.
Well, I mean, seriously, what good does it even do? Who wants to win it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Even winning it is a backhanded,
forward-handed
insult, I think.
Yeah, they predict relevant things like who's going to win the championship and who's going to be the next MVP and who's going to be Rookie of the Year. And then they have this category.
And then this also exists.
You know what's weird? It's like, it sounds like it's a notch above. No, I take it back. It's weird that it's actually not a notch above the Sixth Man Award. Because right. it basically means that it almost sounds like you're the worst player of starters as opposed to the best player of non-starters.
Right.
Where does the shit division line come in exactly? It's a very blurry and disgusting and smelly line.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, Kevin Love has nothing to be worried about because he knows he's a fantastic player. He's a great rebounder. I saw the kid play in high school. He's good.
I just hope that they don't follow this up with the Phrenology Award. Anyway, look up Phrenology, guys. It's horrible. And our next headline... Are you ready for this, Ryan? Yep. You ready? You're one for one so far.
Let's do this.
All right. The next headline is entitled Rocket Power. Is that a movie headline or a sports headline?
I'm going to go movie this time.
That is correct, in fact. This is in reference to Tom Hardy playing Elton John. JC, my Rocket Man, tell us more.
Yeah, Focus Features is going to develop a biopic about Elton John, and they have tapped Tom Hardy to star in it, and the movie is going to be called Rocket Man, as it should be.
I never advocate for this to happen in any other situation, but I kind of wish they had cast Justin Timberlake. And the reason for that is, if you guys ever saw the video for This Train Don't Stop, it's essentially Elton John looking back at his own career, and Justin Timberlake plays like the 70s version of Elton John with the big glasses and the furs and the giant hat looking like, you know, super, super white fly.
Yeah. That's a weird superhero.
It is, indeed. But it was such a great video. And again, that doesn't at all translate to a performance where he's speaking words, which tends to be Justin Timberlake's problem. But part of me is like, man, I kind of wish that was a movie. I kind of wish that music video was a movie. However, Tom Hardy can pretty much do anything. I mean, the last time I doubted Tom Hardy, he broke Batman's spine. So I think I should shut my mouth.
Yeah, and I tell you also, I love everything Focus Features puts out.
Focus Features is a good company.
Yeah, they had one of my favorite movies of all time, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
That's one of your favorite movies of all time?
It really is.
And I still let you be on the show.
You don't like that movie?
I am a generous person. That's all I'm saying.
There's a difference between not liking a movie and calling it one of your favorite films of all
time.
Honestly,
I thought the message was really sweet about, you know, coming to terms with the end of the world. And
how many movies have you seen?
It's a fine movie.
No, I'm serious. How many movies have you seen? Can you count them?
Oh, at least 1,000.
Okay. All right. Wait, I guess that's a fair
number. Which of those 1,000 have you seen?
We all got jokes.
yes, we do.
Does this film have a director attached yet, or they just announced it?
Actually, just closed the story. I don't think so yet. I think it's
Focus.
Just...
Wait, what was the deal? Focus Features recently either got bought by somebody or got folded into another company. Do you remember? It wasn't
maybe Searchlight.
I don't know if it was Searchlight. It may have been Searchlight.
I can't think of the name, but it's the. I have the title card in my head. The people that did Drive.
Film District.
Yeah.
Okay, so Film District and Focus Features are combined.
I think. Don't quote me on that.
We will fact check that at the end of the show. We need a fact checker, by the way. Ryan, do you want to just stay here in the States and not go back to Canada and be our official fact checker?
Sure. You guys got like a shed I can live in?
Or? Yeah, no, absolutely.
There actually is a shed up.
Yeah.
Awesome. I got my shed.
You'd be like Ed and Shaun of the Dead. Just keep on the shed. Play video games all day. It's fun.
The best part is, since you don't give a shit about sports, you'd be perfect as a fact checker, because you would just be like, oh, I think that might be wrong. I don't know.
Actually, reminds me... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, so... Tell me, because this is part of the quiz.
All okay.
Right, ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Tell me which of these doesn't fit.
All right. Hold on. These things is...
Okay. Let me get the bell here.
Bane. MMA fighter. Mm-hmm.
Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
Bronson.
Oh, and Mad Max.
Oh.
Because he's also playing Mad Max.
Mad Max.
My gut's telling me, because I want to say also say Picard's clone. But
great reference.
That's
the black spot on his career.
Elton John, that seems incredibly like.
And that is correct.
Yeah.
For a question that wasn't part of the quiz. So far you're 2.5 for 2.
I gotta say though, I want to give mad props out to him though, to know that he Nemesis. Was Picard's clone in Nemesis. That takes some serious.
His name was Shinzon, thank you very much.
Yes, in that horrible Star Trek 2 try to remake.
You are one of the eight people that referenced that.
And
movie.
That's not anything to say about Tom Hardy playing Elton John. It's just, can we at least talk about how kind of weird that
it
sounds?
It is a weird choice. Yeah. It is, I mean, just physically, it's a weird choice.
Oh, darling, you must learn to think a little bigger.
Well, okay. No, I'm not saying he can't. I'm not saying he can't do it. What I am saying is that physically, he looks like Elton John on both the cream and the clear. So yeah. it's going to be a little odd.
He has no musical talent that I'm aware of. Well, aside from like beatboxing and rapping.
He can beatbox and rap?
Yeah, I've seen a few videos of him like just freestyling while he's got like his baby son attached.
Why are we bothering to record this show when those videos are online? This is insane. Anywho, our next headline is entitled, Working for Peanuts.
I just said peanuts there. I want to say sports.
Is that right? I actually forgot what this one was.
No, he is incorrect.
This is movies. Oh, that's right.
Then you get an.
I'm just gonna say it. I don't have something I can hit that makes that noise. Elliot, come here.
I knew it was coming.
So tell us a little bit about what this story is all about.
So Fox is going to make another animated Peanuts picture, and they have tapped Paul Feig to.
I don't know why they are doing this.
I think they've tapped him to produce it, and he'll probably end up directing it.
First of all. This spate of movies recently where they're taking animated properties from the past 40, 50 years and giving them CG upgrades is a very troubling trend. I fucking hate it.
Well, it's like the 90s when they were turning TV shows. Every single like comedy TV show is getting a movie adaptation.
That's a good point.
That's true, but like I feel like there's the basic visual presentation is still the same. Whereas when you take a character who was drawn in 2D and make them CG for no other reason than that's what's in theaters right now, I don't really see the necessity.
Yeah, well, Peanuts is such a product of its time, too. I mean, if you're going to, like, update the you'd have to update all of it, and then it just wouldn't be the Peanuts anymore.
Yeah, the point of it is sort of that format, that newspaper 2D, because I saw something online years ago where Pixar was thinking about remaking Totoro.
Mm.
It's like there's no reason Totoro's perfect.
There's
remaking it?
Like remake it in terms of like same plot but just CG.
Look, I'm not even the biggest fan of Studio Ghibli, and even I'm like, there is no fucking reason to remake any of those films. Yeah. They are
what they are. Actually, Totoro is, I would imagine, be very difficult. Maybe less difficult than a lot of the other Ghibli films to bring over stateside because some of that stuff doesn't translate as well to American kids.
Yeah.
I mean, plus each of those movies already have an American cast doing voiceovers.
Yeah, right.
And they actually put effort into those dubs, too.
Yeah.
So.
And Paul Feig is a total coin flip for me because I liked The Heat. I am one of the few people that really did not like Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
I didn't get the point other than, yes, I understand that women can also do gross-out humor, but why should that be the entire definition of those characters to the point that I don't find them interesting in any other way?
That's fair. The whole project reeks of insincerity. Even his quote when he talks about it's a big, long quote, but he basically just starts out with saying, growing up, Peanuts was my Star Wars. It's like,
be
a little more insincere.
I feel bad for his childhood.
When you were a kid, Star Wars was your Star Wars.
Damn right. Like, look, I have some bad taste. I know it, but I would never say Peanuts is the bad... No, fuck that.
Do you hear how incensed Elliot is?
That's how horrible that quote is.
Peanuts is your fucking Peanuts. And Calvin and the Hobbes is your fucking Calvin. Fuck this. Ugh.
Elliot, who is currently wearing Ron Swanson's victory outfit,
damn right,
is totally incensed. And I agree with him, but I want you to understand, Paul Feig, how idiotic what you said is that you have incensed Elliot.
I like The Happening, damn it.
Yeah, that's right.
Ugh.
The headline just does just sound like Peanuts why not?
Peanuts.
I can't even imagine the thought that goes into thinking Peanuts is my Star Wars.
What? Well, it's just kind of like the Carrie remake. Like, the studio basically just said, hey, here's a Carrie remake. Give us money.
Well, we did all the work. We took the script that was already there. We took the performances that were already there. We carbon copied them. Now give us our fucking money.
Sounds like Paul McPherson made a movie.
Yeah. Well, good.
Was it Elle from... I'm talking Elle from Legally Blonde.
Oh, that's not Elle McPherson. Elle McPherson's a model.
Reese
Elle
Witherspoon.
Elle Woods, I think. It's been a while since I watched it.
I would watch Elle McPherson in a movie again. You know what? I don't care how old she's gotten.
To play devil's advocate, would...
I'd rather watch Devil's Advocate, yeah.
Do you think that we probably put a little bit more, I don't know, we're vilifying him maybe a little bit too much, trying to bring it to CG? Like, Peter Jackson did the same thing. You could argue Peter Jackson did the exact same thing with King Kong.
Mm. Yeah. And I didn't like King Kong.
But before the movie even came out, were you thinking, oh, this is a terrible idea?
Well, okay. I don't know how to explain this.
It's a little different, though.
Okay, but King Kong is already sort of a 3D effect. I mean, he's already falsely... I don't really know how to explain
the difference. King Kong already had a history of being remade and redone. I mean, Peanuts is such, like, already steeped in nostalgia. I mean, no one's like... If you know Peanuts, it means you know it and you have nostalgia for it. No one's ever like, oh, what is this thing... I've never heard of kind of a deal.
Well, the other thing is that I would argue that I would have liked Peter Jackson's King Kong a lot more, one, if it wasn't 8 hours long, and two, if they had actually had shots of practical effect King Kong. So in many ways, I think exactly what he's doing, what he did with King Kong and what's being proposed to be done to the Peanuts are kind of the same issue. And I don't like King Kong either. I would rail against that movie as much as I rail against this idea.
Well, let's say that is the issue more that it's Paul Feig is attached to it, or is it more that he's choosing to use it, that it's choosing to be updated in CG form?
No, it is not that Paul Feig is involved, because again, like, the guy is running a 50% track record with me. That's not enough for me to automatically discount anything he does. It is entirely the fact that there is absolutely no need to do a CG Peanuts movie. If you want to do a Peanuts movie in 2013, animate it in 2D. Kids will still fucking love it because it's still the Peanuts. They still know who Snoopy is. They still know who the Smurfs are. Like, you don't have to modernize them and when your entire concept of modernization is just making them 3D. That's not modernizing them at all.
Well, no, but maybe they'll go to space this time.
Or they'll time travel.
Yeah.
And, you know, no.
But they'll steal your baby.
One thing I'm actually really curious about is... me knowing absolutely almost nothing about animation in 2D or 3D, so I don't know exactly how much work goes into either one of them.
True, it's more work for 3D.
Is it really? That's what I'm curious about. Is it more work, or is it just is 2D harder to actually do? 2D, even though 3D is more work,
2D is harder because a lot of times if you want a really well produced 2D thing, it's individual line arts. Mm-hmm. So you have a entire studio of people drawing the thing again and again and again and again and again. Whereas digitally, a lot of times there was a mesh between the two. You'd see traditional line art, but backgrounds and other things would be done digitally.
Treasure Planet.
Exactly. Well, Treasure Planet was a very early
thing,
a clumsy attempt of that.
Yeah.
But it's a good melding of it. Whereas 3D, you can get a lot done faster. You can cut a lot of middlemen. It's almost completely on computer.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird oxymoron in that it's a lot more work, but it's easier to do.
Yeah, easier, longer.
Yeah, but
other ones more difficult. Yeah. Possibly shorter, maybe, I don't know.
And maybe it's because I grew up with it, but God, I just don't even view 3D as animated almost. It's like, it just doesn't, to me, and when I'm looking at it, I'm like, I need the 2D. That's why I like Ghibli, because like, everything's 2D. So,
Blair. Things are Blair.
I guess one thing I was getting at was, I wonder if it's really just hard to find 2D animators anymore.
Well, that's the thing, it's a dying industry.
Yeah.
It's the practical effects.
I'm wondering, too, if there was a big push back to 2D animation, if we wouldn't see more of those protests with the green squares. Mm-hmm. Be like, no, you're putting us out of work. It's like, or we're hiring people who have been out of work for years because of... Anyway, that's a whole different debate.
Yeah, what happened with that?
I don't know. I'm sure whoever wanted to get paid got paid. Anyway, so you're 2 for 3 now. Mm-hmm. So let's see.
You have an F.
No. Wait. What did I say? You had to get four of them. All right. So you got to get.
He's doing it.
You
can only miss one more.
Yes.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah. Put that gun down, please.
Yeah.
it's a knife. This next one is called Poster Theatrics. I know this one's tough on purpose.
Yeah.
Don't go chasing sports. Waterfalls.
That is correct. JC, there is some shit going down at the Staples Center. Tell us about it.
There is, and I actually really love this story a lot. So, brand new Clippers coach Doc Rivers is making a statement in the Staples Center. He, whenever the Clippers are going to play and it's their home floor, he is choosing to cover up all of the Lakers' championship banners.
Yeah, because they play in the same stadium, the Lakers and the Clippers. Yeah. And the Lakers have like 1,500 championship banners that they put up, and the Clippers have really good prices on popcorn. So, you know, they're pretty much the same. But Doc Rivers thought maybe we end the shame parade of playing literally under the shadow of all of these championships won by LA's other team. So instead he's raising banners with images of the current players to cover the balls. I love this move. Like, cover that shit up. Yeah. Because I said so.
My favorite thing about the story is, sure enough, it's angered a few of the Lakers, but the only one who's spoken out is Nick Young, who's a relative nobody in this league.
Who the fuck is Nick Young?
He's their big free agent signing, and he's an okay player, but he's a relative nobody in the league, and he came out and he said that Doc Rivers needs to earn his keep before he can do a thing like that. Doc Rivers, who is an NBA champion head coach.
Wait, yeah. and who said this again?
Nick Young.
I'm sorry. Who said this again?
Yeah.
Nick Young saying that Doc Rivers needs to earn his keep.
Yeah. And also Nick Young, who's been a Laker for 45 minutes.
Wow.
Nick Young needs to go fuck
himself. Like the pot calling the kettle, somebody who's going to be cut from the team in a few months. That is, what an asshole. Yeah. But I do like that. Because you know what? First of all, the Clippers should have their own fucking stadium. They don't have a football team in LA. There's no reason that two teams who won, you know, the tide has shifted in LA. The Clippers have a better shot of winning the championship this year than the Lakers do.
Yeah, and they're my pick to come out of the West.
And it's high time. By the way, JC posted an article with all of his picks for the end of the year standings, as well as the top 10 games that you should watch this season, so you should go read it. But anyway, they really do need to redefine themselves. They need to formulate an identity that is not just the little brother of the LA Lakers. And I think this is a great way to start, when you no longer have to play under the yoke, almost literally, of all the championships that the Lakers, with their fucking endless salary money, have been able to earn over the years. So I love this move. I think
it's a great move.
Yeah.
What does he have to lose by doing it?
Nothing. There is nothing.
The fans of the other team.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't have.
Who the fuck is going to go, who's going to pay money to see a Clippers game, look up and go, oh, now wait a minute, the Lakers banners aren't there, now I'm mad. Yeah. It's like, no, if you paid money to see the Clippers play, you're a Clippers fan, and you've probably been well aware of the problem for years of always being in the shadow of the Lakers, and this is one way to, I guess, you know, move the sun around so you're not in the shadow
I think this
anymore.
Is a great way to get the fans of your team behind you.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's something that the players have responded to, and it's something that Vinny Del Negro wouldn't have been able to get away with, because Doc Rivers has earned his keep.
Yeah.
And
he
can't do something
like
that.
Yeah, that's what Nick Young and his infinite wisdom is missing, is that the very reason this is happening is because Doc Rivers has earned his keep. That's entirely true. Anywho, our next headline. So where are we right now with you, Ryan? How are you doing?
Seems like you got to die for me right now.
Three of four.
Yeah. Okay. So this next one is, you have to get one of these next two. This next one is entitled The Birds.
That staring ain't helping it.
I know. That's why I'm doing it.
Seems like a trick one. I'm going to go sports.
Good job. Yeah.
That is correct. JC, tell us about this other Spygate going on right now.
So the Oregon Ducks have a remote camera that covers the practices, so people can go in and watch how the Ducks are doing while they're practicing. And
this is the University of Oregon Ducks, for those who don't follow college football.
And so today, the remote camera captured a screen capture where there's a pigeon standing right next to the camera.
Like, really creepily, too. Yeah. Like,
it's watching footage.
Yeah, it's a pigeon that's got this, like, weird orange rim around its eye. It's just like,
and devil pigeon.
Yeah, and it's staring straight at the field, and it just looks like it could be spying on the... and it's something that a lot of people have had a lot of fun with, and they've accused Nick Saban of programming...
Yeah, is it a devil pigeon?
Yeah, they've accused him of programming a robotic chicken to spy on Oregon's, Oregon's practices.
Now I gotta get into sports now.
Yeah.
No, that was a thing back in a few years ago. They accused the coordinator of the Saints for spying for Alabama during the championship
game. Did he use pigeons?
It looks like Michael Myers...
I just I want to say with all the money flowing into college football, you think they would at least be able to keep up technologically with the cheating of the NFL, which is done, you know, largely with cameras and tape recorders. But apparently in college, it's still done with carrier pigeons, which I find to be, I don't know, a little strange. But clearly this bird is a spy. I mean, there is no other explanation. It can't possibly be that this was a slow news day.
Well, the weird thing, yeah. Well, the weird thing about it is, I mean, this is a video feed that Oregon provides to someone, so why would Nick Saban have to spy?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you just
look, beat the shit out of the courier
behind the pigeon, you will see Oregon practicing, so the pigeon seems a little superfluous. I don't know. All right, Ryan, well, you've pretty much won already, but I'm going to go ahead and read off the last headline. And you tell me whether it's sports or movies.
I mean, get a blanket you do actually
have
shack.
You do actually have a prize, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That's a no.
And the last headline is entitled Funny Ball.
I'm going to go movie.
Actually, it's both, so you wouldn't want it either way. This story actually happens to be both. JC, tell us about the latest sports star to make a cameo in a Farrelly Brothers movie.
Yeah, it's going to be Texas Rangers baseball player Derek Holland. He's going to appear in Dumb and Dumber 2.
Why? So, you know,
yeah.
Why be in that movie?
I don't know. But for, I mean, for those who aren't familiar, the Farrelly brothers actually are notorious for placing athletes in cameos, the most famous of which was Roger Clemens in Kingpin. But a lot of people don't know that Seabass is Cam Neely, a former hockey player for the Boston Bruins, who I'm sure... Or you don't? Well, you don't.
I know now.
Okay. Oh, you're from Canada. I forgot you didn't watch. You don't watch sports.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I guess. Okay. So I guess Brett Favre for.
Yeah. Brett Favre. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You already mentioned Seabass. There was a what was it? There was some character who was like a crazy. I don't know. I don't watch Farrelly Brothers movies. but speaking of Boston, as we're speaking right now, the Boston Red Sox have just won Game 1 of the World Series. By a score of 8-1, so congratulations to Boston. And hopefully, for the sake of entertainment value, this won't be like the last World Series Boston and St. Louis found themselves in which Boston swept them in 4 straight after their historic comeback win after being 3 games down to the Yankees in the ALCS. Ryan, you got 5 out of 6 right. Congratulations. You have won a beer out of our fridge.
All
right. And if you hadn't won, that would have been okay, too, because as a consolation, I would have offered you a beer out of our fridge. So you are just winning all over the place today. And I want to thank you for...
Coming up Millhouse.
Everything's coming up Millhouse. Thank you so much for playing the crossover. We
thank
appreciate
you for having
it.
Me, guys.
And I want to say just thanks for being a great fan.
Yeah, thanks. We like our fans. You know what? We're going to try this in the future, having you guys, the listeners, if we have more than 2 of you, to call in and play the crossover with us. And there will actually be prizes. They may not be great, but they will be prizes. And that is going to do it for segment 1. Stick around for our recap of Week 7 in the NFL. Elliot will shed a tear into his beer for the once mighty LSU Tigers. And we will give out some awards. And to leave now, I mean, that would be like kicking Wolfman in the nards. Don't be the guy who kicks Wolfman in the nards. Welcome, children. Welcome to segment 2. That's horrible.
Getting healthier, huh?
Yeah, this is all the fucking salads just coming back to haunt me. Anywho, this is episode 16. We are midway through October. You guys said this is coming up on the last weekend before Halloween. You guys have big Halloween plans?
Yes. Nah.
No.
No, I'm going to be at the Austin Film Festival coming up, so, and closing night is Halloween. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm going to a wedding, and then I'm going to try to hit a Halloween party as a slightly tan Coulson. So I'm thinking.
Okay, good.
My wife tends to, she loves to watch movies and do something extravagant on Halloween, so that's what I'll be doing.
Sweet. I really want to say what, my wife and I have a Halloween, a joint. It's not a couple's costume, because technically we're going to be the same thing. But that's all I'm going to say.
A horse, where one's in the back and one's in the front?
No.
You're both going to be Luke?
Closer.
And I don't want to know anymore, because
Yeah, no, it's going to be amazing. I mean, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but yeah.
You're going to be a ginger horse.
Damn it.
I'll look for the guess real quick. Let me think. Rowan Bryan.
Okay, you want to play 20 questions with this shit?
Not 20 questions. I'll just think of
myself. I'll give you
two. Okay.
Are you Brian? Is she Tony?
Yes, and yes.
Are you Chewbacca, and is she Han Solo?
No.
Okay.
You got one more question.
Oh, that was...
I thought that was good.
I was like, that was two questions.
I got lawyered.
We just lawyered the lawyer. That was pretty
good. Happens all the time when I've been drinking.
Well, this is segment two, wherein we talk about the week that was with the NFL, somewhat with college, and we hand out our awards. I was going to start off by talking about another embarrassing loss for LSU, only because it delights me to see Elliott squirm a little bit.
Hey, they lost.
They did. They lost badly.
They lost by a point. What do you mean badly?
Well, they lost to Ole Miss. So.
That's their rival who's a good team.
No, that they lost to Ole Miss.
They lost to a racist school there in the SEC. What?
How many teams... Okay, let me rephrase. How many schools in the SEC are not... at least, you know, at maximum 5 years removed from being racist?
I would say one.
Okay.
No, two. Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Oh.
I was going to say Missouri and Texas A&M, because they came from the Big 12.
And I'm including LSU because the Tigers...
The furthest north schools.
Yeah. I'm including LSU because the Tigers, the name for the Tigers is actually a name for a Confederate army company. That one of the North generals said they fought like Tigers, so that they named the football team the Tigers.
That is a little bit of LSU history from Elliot, because who the hell else would it be from?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't put LSU on a pedestal where I don't acknowledge that. Hey, yeah, that's racist as hell.
I like that, man. It's very even keel of you. But hey, speaking of LSU, we have some breaking news. Yes, that sound, that telegraph sound. We need more of that. Thank you, JC. What's going on with Nick Saban? Speaking of LSU, and not speaking of LSU directly, but the SEC.
So there's a report that came out that's been confirmed by the local Austin ESPN team, and that Nick Saban's wife, Terry, was here in town a few weeks ago house shopping.
Now, unless Nick Saban is getting a divorce, or he just really loves barbecue, what is a possible other explanation for why Nick Saban would be house shopping in Austin, Texas?
It really is unusual, and... I mean, there may not be anything to it. The fact remains, I mean, she was here house shopping. It may not mean anything. It could mean something.
He's in the coach of Texas State.
Yeah.
He's moving from a...
Which is my alumni. I'd be okay with that.
Sam Marcus is going to get a great coach.
A potential third year in a row national title and going to a school based in San Marcos. Yeah. But
he probably needs a new challenge.
I mean, he could be seeing the well dry up in Alabama, and he could be doing like Pete Carroll and seeing and just fleeing when the time is right.
Well, Nick Saban's MO.
Yeah, you live long enough to become yourself the villain, or you leave before your welcome's up.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, I think, and again, this is just going to feel like sandpaper coming out of my mouth, but I think Elliot may have called this one. When we did a show a few weeks ago, when he said that there's potential that if Mac Brown went down for the count, which it certainly seems like this season would finally warrant a firing, and we know that there is a new athletic director at Texas because the old athletic director didn't want to be the guy that fired Mac Brown.
Yeah, he's actually, the old director is still there. He's going to retire at the end of the year.
Right.
But he hasn't picked his successor yet.
Well, if it's not him again, then I think that Mac Brown's job is in serious jeopardy, and this does not bode well, one, for Alabama fans, but fuck them, and
seriously,
two,
fuck them.
That's really mean, I shouldn't say that.
Fuck them.
I'll let Elliot say it for me.
Fuck Feinbaum, too.
There you go. And it doesn't bode well for Mac Brown, but then again...
Mac Brown, he might step down. He would. I think he would.
He might not wait to get fired. He may be like, you know, he may do a Jim Leland and just be like, look... There's no more gas in the tank. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, so. And, you know, it was even a few years ago, it was kind of on the radar that, you know, Mac Brown was within the next decade or so, he was going to be on his way out. Only because he's been doing it for a while. He probably doesn't want to become like, you know, a Bobby Bowden. You know, he'd like to go out with at least a pretty good record on his, I mean, he's got a national championship. He made it to another one.
played against.
He should have won that one too.
He possibly. I mean, they could have made a run for it had Colt McCoy not gotten knocked
Looking
out.
At
the
what
first
Gilbert did, you know, they would have won that if Colt McCoy didn't get injured. Absolutely.
You know, so it's, you know, there's a lot he can look back at and, you know, be proud of. I think this would be the time where he would definitely say, you know, I've done all that I possibly could probably here at Texas and I'm ready to step down. But it is shocking to me that Nick Saban would just officially choose.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying so much just leave three championships back, but leave at the potential for four. And yeah. You know what? Maybe it's the graduation of his starting quarterback. Maybe if
yeah,
I could see
that
any,
could be.
If I could see anything, maybe being a possible reason why he
it'd be AJ McCarron leaving.
Yeah, it would be, you know, his touchstone for the last 4 years not being there, and maybe he doesn't feel that strongly about his team going forward. I can't just any coach choosing to leave a team that he's won a total of three so far, going on three so far.
No, yeah, two. Three. They have
two at Alabama.
Two out of the last three. He's betting three out of the last four.
Three to last four. Yeah. So he's going on his fourth. This year could be his fourth.
Oh, you're right,
at Alabama.
He's looking for three straight, but it would be.
Potentially be his fourth at Alabama.
So this is to relate this sort of to the movie world or the movie geek world. I mean, we are speculating on something that would be the movie equivalent of seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt go to the Marvel office, and I'm automatically lead to the assumption that he's playing Ant-Man, which happened. And I mean, yes, we are rushing to some conclusions, but it does raise flags that he's not visiting campus. He's not here under any guise of being on vacation. There is house shopping going on, I don't know what else could signify or suggest a change of venue, a change of residence. I mean, yes, it's entirely possible he's buying a vacation home, but it seems so bizarre to me that he would pick Austin, Texas as a vacation spot when Alabama, I mean, if you just drive south to the Gulf Coast, I mean, there's beautiful properties right there on the Gulf, and we being a landlocked, often drought-riddled, you know, mid-city, like, I just don't
hellscape.
See...
Hellscape.
Well, I hesitate to say hellscape because people get mad at me. But, it's just, to me, it's like, this is a huge red flag. Yeah. And I really do think that people in Alabama should be at least a little bit nervous about this.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think people don't realize, and Texas has been a victim to, when you have a quarterback who's been a steady quarterback as long as AJ McCarron has been, that hurts recruiting. They may not have a quarterback lined up for the next couple of years because after Vince Young.
Because what upstart high school kid is going to want to go to Alabama knowing that AJ McCarron's going to be there for three,
just
4 months?
Still
more
in the
years.
Bench.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, depending on when they attempted to recruit them, he's going to be there for three,
in
4 years.
In between Vince Young and Case McCoy or Colt McCoy, there was a bit of a gap. And since Colt McCoy, there's been really nobody.
That's a good point.
Because, when you have a quarterback stay that long, it hurts your recruiting.
Right. And even Colt McCoy himself, coming out of high school, was not highly recruited. He became a...
And that's, I think they lucked into Colt McCoy.
They lucked into Colt McCoy, you know?
Well, I tell you, like, I can sort of understand Saban because Alabama fans, they expect a lot. And it might be nice to
I think they do now.
No. Alabama fans have always... No.
If you give a mouse a national title...
No. Alabama fans have always expected a lot from whoever's their coach because they're Alabama. Mm-hmm. They have that pedigree.
Well, yeah, they're always looking for the next Bear Bryant.
Yeah, right. So I mean...
Always.
It could be a situation where he's like, look, I have done everything I can do here. Mm-hmm. I will set a record. I've already given him three championships.
Yeah.
Let me go someplace where I don't have to go up from there. It's maybe it's going to be less pressure going to Texas. He cannot win a championship one fucking year.
It's like
just be like, okay, well, now I can just rebuild, and then I'll win championships later, but he doesn't have to win a championship this next year, because there's a lot of pressure, because Alabama, and like a lot of fans, and I'm including LSU, it's about what have you done for me lately? And they don't care that you won other championships.
And just like a family film featuring an alien, a monster, any other magical being, there comes the point where the speech is given, I've done all I can on this planet, my work here is done, I must move on, and then, you know, they disappear in the Flight of the Navigator ship or wherever the fuck you're watching. And I think that might be the situation with Nick Saban, is it's just, okay, I mean, how much more can you succeed at one place before you're resting on laurels? And how long for somebody like Nick Saban does it get before resting on laurels becomes something that eats at you?
And then you get bad.
Honestly, until recently, I would have said that that's not possible for Nick Saban. He would just coast all the way through it and keep winning based on the strength of his recruiting. But you know what? I'm starting to think, and this is certainly a bit of a smoking gun, I think, that perhaps he's looking for a new challenge. And Texas is certainly a challenge right now.
And the thing is, if you look at the way they played Oklahoma, they have the raw talent. They have the players.
Yeah.
They need the coaching.
Well, and if you think about this, too, how suddenly, how bombarded is Texas suddenly going to be with recruits if Nick Saban comes to Texas?
They're going to have the biggest offensive line in the world.
Mack Brown would turn away such amazing potential talent. Suddenly, Nick Saban, who has done a great job recruiting, is in charge of Texas.
I mean,
eyes are looking away from Alabama, which has the recruiting problem that JC's talking about, and looking toward what is now wide-open virgin territory at Texas.
Yeah, Nick Saban pursued Jameis Winston very hard, and Jameis Winston went to Florida State, obviously, but he wanted to go to Texas, and Nick Saban was close to getting him, but yeah.
By the way, just real quickly before we move on to our awards, do you guys think Jameson is a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender?
Yeah.
Do you think he will actually take it away from? I honestly think Johnny Manziel's stock is falling.
Oh yeah, he's got no shot at a Heisman.
I don't think so. Yeah.
And Clowney hasn't done much.
It's either going to be Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota.
Or what about Teddy Bridgewater?
Mariota, I think, is overpassing him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he has a real shot.
Cool. Well, that's going to do it for our breaking news, and now it's time to give out some awards! Thank you, Mario, although Luigi was always my favorite. Anywho, we are going to start, as we always do, with the...
Oh my God!
Yep, even though that's from Troll 2, no trolling is suggested here as we give out the Oh My God award, which is for the best game of the week. And guys, for me, it's gotta be Colts Broncos. Holy shit, Colts Broncos. Are you kidding me? Peyton's return to the house that Manning built. I mean, I only saw the first half of the game and it was still better than most of the games I saw on Sunday. That's all I'm gonna say. I don't know. Elliot seems to look a little incredulous of my choice.
I mean, I'm incredulous because this weekend wasn't really that good for games, and that was the best game.
Okay, but there was also the Chiefs and the Texans, which came down to the wire and was an amazing defensive
battle. I will say
battle.
Case Keenum showed that he deserves that starting job.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. At least for the time being, yeah. I mean, I can't see any reason to bench him.
Matt Schaub needs to shit on the bench for the rest of the week. He's already shit on the field enough.
He needs to just shove it for a while.
Yeah. My game of the week was one that I actually called, the Jets over the Patriots.
You were the only person.
That's right.
You know what? And you know what pisses me off this week? We'll get to this when we talk about the Penn Steve. JC called almost every upset this week and has actually taken the lead away from me in the Penn Steve.
He's not bitter.
I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it. Because first I thought he was just Elliot-ing.
Oh my God, I'm a verb.
Yeah, you are. It's not quite shoving, but it is just giving things up for no reason. But
it's weird. I mean, I was almost way wrong. I know that the Patriots lost their best defensive player, and Geno Smith is kind of hit or miss from week to week. And I didn't think Gronk was going to have a very big impact, and he got 17 targets and he caught 8 of them. So
Gronk had a huge fantasy. Yeah,
he did. I was almost really wrong, but I mean, the fact that Gronk did play a good game and the Patriots still lost to the Jets,
and if not for a freaky ass call,
yeah.
and the Patriots,
it's a new rule this year. They got a fucking reason. I know Belichick's not big on learning the rules.
It's not that it wasn't legit. It was a completely legit call.
Yep. No, you can't do that shit anymore. You can't shove. When in the opposing, okay, so basically what happened, for those of you who didn't see the game, is that it came down to overtime, and the Jets went to kick a field goal, and initially they missed it, but one of the Patriots players pushed a lineman to the other side of the line to try and block the field goal, which, according to a rule that was just put in place this year, is illegal, and the refs were right on top of that shit, and they called it immediately.
Yeah, it's a rule.
The Jets get another, I know, again, Belichick, not big on following the rules. Yeah. But the Jets got another chance and they put it through and they pull off the unlikely win. But again, I've had to back off this a little bit after they beat the Saints, but it was looking for a long time like the Patriots were squeaking out these garbage wins against bad teams, and they kept doing it. And, you know, eventually when they came across the first halfway decent team that they did, which was the Bengals, they lost. Now, they of course beat the Saints, which kind of put that argument to rest, but here again, they lose to the Jets. And yes, they didn't have their top defensive player, but that was not the problem with the Patriots on Sunday. The problem is they couldn't fucking protect Tom Brady save his life. So every time he went down, it was like another opportunity blown. And this brings us back to the Colts-Broncos, which is, again, my pick of the week, because out of nowhere, seemingly, the Colts' defense had a fire lit under its ass.
Oh, yeah.
Well, after what San Diego did to them, they're better.
They were putting a hurt on not only Peyton Manning, but on Sean Moreno. And I am so fucking lucky that I had my game wrapped before Sunday night, because the only two players I had in the game were T.Y. Hilton and Sean Moreno, neither of which did shit. But Sean Moreno got shut down for really the first time this year. I've never seen him knocked backwards the way he was in this game. And Robert Mathis was a man possessed.
Robert Mathis has been having, even before that, he's been having a season for the ages. I mean, he came into the game with like, Nine and a half sacks.
And it's at least a couple more now with a forced fumble.
Yeah.
Which he did to Peyton in the, like, right in the end zone. It was incredible. And, you know, it's just one of those games that you just don't see too often. You don't see Peyton Manning, especially this season, making mistakes. And yet the Colts, for all of their respect, for all of their reverence for Peyton Manning, which they should, because again, we wouldn't have Lucas Oil Stadium if it weren't for Peyton Manning. We wouldn't be a team that anybody's putting on power rankings that I was seeing on ESPN if it weren't for Peyton Manning, because he laid the groundwork. And when he went down, we thought, I mean, and clearly we were right, that we were fucked. And that 2-14 season supported that idea.
Right.
But this also leads into my candidate for...
He might be a cyborg.
Which, despite the sound effect you just heard, I'm not going with Megatron this week.
freaking amazing game.
He did.
He has the touch.
But... I actually have two, but the first one is Andrew Luck, and I will tell you why. Let me set the scene for you here. So we exit Peyton Manning. He leaves and goes to Denver. He's the longtime star of the indie show. The shadow he casts over Colts football was enormous. I mean, we weren't sure anyone would ever fill his shoes. And then last year, the clouds parted, and unto us was given Andrew Luck. I mean, he took a 2-14 dog of a team and turned it into an 11-5 contender. But again, with the way Peyton's been playing this year, a loss seemed like a foregone conclusion for the Colts. I mean, there was just no way. The Broncos were 7-0 and we just lost to the fucking Chargers. Like, it wasn't looking good for us. And yet, Luck could not be fazed by all the hype, by the pressure, by having Peyton back. I mean, he really made a statement on Sunday. And that statement is very similar to the one in Rocky, which is, I deserve to be in the ring with you. And I am a cold, emotionless, winning machine. And I sound like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs when he was in college.
This is post-game interview saying, it throws the football into the end zone.
We're just really happy to get the win. And, and Peyton's a great player. We really respect him.
I tell you, though, it's like, you know, in terms of how you handle pressure, you can either be... There's three ways to handle pressure. Either you don't handle pressure well, or you're a person that's just level throughout the entire season, or, you know, your job, you're just sort of a level person, you don't get too high, too low. There's also the people who just rise to it.
Sure.
And in my estimation, you want the person who rises to it, not the person who's always even, because the person who rises to it will give you that little bit of extra when you really need it.
Yeah.
So that's what because Peyton is the cool customer. He's just, I'm going to play the way I play.
Yeah.
If I win, I win. If I don't, I don't.
Well, the thing people are forgetting about Peyton Manning, which I understand, is that Peyton's first 2 years were nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
Even as a rookie, Peyton, it took him a while to get into a groove.
Well, he missed the Tennessee band, which I would miss.
Well, and he also inherited, I mean, he also inherited a pretty bad team.
He did. So did Andrew Luck.
He did. No, I mean, to compare them both, they're both having actually very similar, statistically speaking, they're both having very similar starts to their career.
Yep.
Which actually bodes very well for Andrew Luck, who has legs that Peyton Manning doesn't.
That's very true.
Peyton looks like a wounded.
He looks like a wounded camel trying to scramble out of the pocket.
There are plays in football that Andrew Luck can make that Peyton Manning can't.
And he proved it on Sunday by running in a touchdown.
Precisely.
And not the way that Peyton did, where he had to fake out the entire defense and make them go to lunch so that he could sneak in the left side.
I'll buy you Pizza Hut. Don't worry about it.
Andrew Luck ran it at the defense. It was like, fuck you, I'm getting in because I have the same 40 time and the same structural build as Robert Griffin III, which is why he needs to watch it. Exactly.
He's not as big as he thinks he is.
But I will say this, I am going to stop doubting the Colts when it comes to drafting. Because I am one of those people that when I heard they were taking Andrew Luck over Robert Griffin III was like, really?
Hey, hey.
I can't, no, flashback
you can't,
to...
And you can't necessarily say that if RG3 was there and
that's what I'm saying.
That he would not have the same level of success.
You can't discount that's the shittiness of the Redskins in their coach. It's like Oakland. Oakland could ruin a fucking quarterback real quick.
That's true. Yeah. Oakland is where careers go to die.
So, I mean, I feel like Robert Griffin III, if he gets traded somewhere, if it's the right team and they'll actually, you know, they'll actually work with him.
Yeah.
And I expect him to do every fucking thing.
Yeah.
He'll be good. But sure. You go to a franchise that knows how to bring along quarterbacks, who knows how to work with him. You got the other one is just like, I still want to erase his name. I think it's a good idea. What's the big idea? So, I mean, it's two different things.
But I will say that, I mean, for this year's indie team, they have that. You know what? They actually appear to have that same level of belief that the Denver Broncos had when they had Tim Tebow at quarterback, which is like, we're never out of it.
Sure.
You know,
fun to watch.
It's so weird that, you know, I would never grant Tim Tebow I would never say that he's a good NFL quarterback, but when he's at the helm, there's something there that kind of rallies the team around him.
He's a natural leader.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? If the game is on the line,
he's Captain America.
If we're down by a touchdown or less, going into 2 minutes, I'm gonna do something to get it done.
Yeah,
you know, and he's gonna find a way to get it done. And it seems like that same mentality is the same way that the Colts from offense and defense, because it can't just be both sides. I mean, it can't just be one side. It's not that you're the leader of the offense. Mm. You are the leader of your team. So the defense tends to play better when they know that they're not completely out of it.
Sure.
And that's how they beat. That's how they've so far beaten the undefeated Seahawks,
the 49ers,
and the undefeated Broncos.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they refuse to believe that they're not part of the game.
They refuse to believe that they are inferior.
Right. That they're I'm in the fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you exactly how hard I can punch if I want to.
Yeah.
And I tell you, one thing that's good to see is, you don't often see a situation where somebody leaves because they're getting a little bit long in the tooth and the other team wants to start rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's not really any real drama. It's really,
and it's funny. The media tried to make so much. They tried to make this big Jim Irsay basically saying he wished that we had won more Super Bowls. Who the fuck doesn't?
Yeah.
And the media tried to spin that into, he's dogging on Peyton Manning. No, especially ESPN, who's driving me up the fucking wall. I was like, he was not dogging on Peyton. You're trying to create drama where there isn't any. And it was clear there wasn't, because when Peyton came back in that stadium, everybody was on their feet cheering. There was a 2-minute highlight reel that Jim Irsay put together to show before the game. And it's clear Peyton was touched by it. I was touched by it. It was great to have him back in that stadium. And I'm not going to lie, it was even better the fact that we were able to get the better of him, you know, for the first. And you know what? I think somewhere deep down, he would never admit this, but I think somewhere deep down, Peyton Manning appreciates the fact that the team that finally broke the unbeaten streak of the Denver Broncos was the Indianapolis Colts.
If it has
Colts.
To be somebody, it might be somebody. It might as well be somebody who you had a hand in making them that good.
The torch has been passed.
Yeah, it was even reported on his way out. He said to the Colts, "Like, you're crazy if you don't draft Andrew Luck."
Right. Yeah. There was no bad blood between them when they parted ways.
Yeah.
And it worked out. It worked out good for both of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They both got a great deal out of it.
Sure.
One got Andrew Luck. Peyton Manning will probably win a Super Bowl.
It's very rare that you see such a win on both sides. And it's just nice to see, and it's nice to take notice of that.
Yeah. And I'm going to double segue off what Adam said previously, which usually a double segue is what really white people take on dates. But first of all, as far as that mentality you're talking about, it's going to be tested now more than ever with Reggie Wayne being injured and out for the season.
Right.
Reggie Wayne, who is not only Andrew Luck's number one target, but has been targeted more than, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, any other receiver in the NFL. So, I mean, we're not just taking away Andrew Luck's best weapon. We're taking away one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL.
Right.
And he wasn't the only injury this week. This week was horrible for players. I mean, help me out here. So we got
Jay Cutler. Lance Briggs.
Lance Briggs, the linebacker in Texas. Cushing went down.
Yep.
Sam Bradford went down.
Yeah.
JerMichael Finley, we thought was paralyzed for a while, which thank God that's not what happened.
Yeah. And he's still. I mean, it's still up in the air whether or not he'll come back.
Yeah, I think DeMarco Murray got injured. I mean,
he was injured prior week. DeMarcus Ware was also injured prior week.
Yeah, that's correct.
And this
You're
is
right.
the time of year when injuries start to happen.
But you know,
but these are season-ending.
These are like big-time injuries.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing that I find interesting is that very few of the people that went down this week, did it have anything to do with a hit to the head?
No.
Which I just find that interesting, that it was like turf. Like, Reggie Wayne stepped wrong on the turf. Sam Bradford was running and stepped wrong on the whatever that tarp is they keep on the sidelines. Cushing was hit in the leg. Jermichael Finley was hit sort of in the neck region. But for the most part, it was all lower extremities injuries and, frankly, just, you know, landing on it wrong. But with all of these injuries going on right now in the NFL, brings me to the second segue off of Adam's point. There is a very real chance that we have not seen the last of Tim Tebow, because suddenly the Chicago Bears, the St. Louis Rams, and if you watched Monday Night Football, which was one of the most embarrassing games I think I've ever fucking seen, definitely the Minnesota Vikings are all now in desperate need of a quarterback. And when I say desperate need, I mean calling Tim Tebow desperate need.
And plus, I mean, Tim Tebow is a name. You'll get butts and seats off of Tim Tebow.
Yeah, and that's something right now that Minnesota desperately needs.
But the strange thing is he's not going to be playing. I mean, they're not I seriously doubt any of them are looking to – if any of them are seriously looking at Tim Tebow.
The rumor is that St. Louis has legitimately called Tim Tebow
to start the game.
St. Louis might be his best chance. Like, Chicago was actually fine with how Josh McCown played. They do need to sign a backup quarterback.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. They need a backup because, frankly, Josh McCown coming in against that defense – that's fine, but it's not. I don't think it's a measuring stick as to how the rest of the season's going to go with him.
And I think that's the issue. Is that like is the only type of quarterback you can probably sign in the middle of the year with the intent that they're going to start the game for you is going to be a throwing quarterback, somebody who can actually throw the ball.
Sure,
that's not Tim Tebow.
It's not. And again, these are not ideal situations. But as Samuel L. Jackson said in the Avengers, you have made me very desperate.
No, I tell you, it's not the
and
same.
And the U in that case is injuries.
I think it's not the same, but, like, I mean, I had a few people injured on my fantasy team and some people that I really rely on having a bye week. So I had to go with Chris Johnson.
Yep. And he turned out.
He performs.
He on one. I mean, we'll get there in a second, but on one play, he went from like 5 points to 21. And I thought it was broken. Like, I thought the stat tracker thing was wrong. I was like, well, that's going to correct itself. And then I look at the highlights and sure as shit, I'm like a 66-yard receiving touchdown. Okay, good on you.
And it's something like, if anybody's ever watched Battlestar Galactica, one of Adama's favorite phrases is, you know, sometimes you got to roll a hard six.
That's true.
And you don't take, you just say, hey, look, this is some shit I have to do.
And he got that hard 6 points. That's for damn sure. but yeah, this actually brings me to my candidate. Like I said, I have two cyborgs this week. The other one is also my candidate for the Bone Zone.
Finish him!
Yes, it sounded like that. Now, before I get into my candidate, who are you guys picking for the Bone Zone? We might overlap.
I'm pretty sure
here.
We all picked the same.
Yeah, okay. The kicker from
the Colts punter, Pat McAfee. That man is
antivirus.
That mammoth hit, the best hit of the week in my opinion, came from Colts punter Pat McAfee, who laid the ever-loving smackdown on Broncos returner Trendon Holloway.
LSU alumni.
He hit him so hard that Holloway woke up seeing stars, and McAfee woke up with a notice that he was being summoned for a random drug
that
test.
Is so great.
Yeah, because apparently the NFL, whose drug tests are about as random as the cavity searches at Tel Aviv Airport, don't think a punter can hit that hard. He has got to be a fucking robot. Because first of all, what punter is going to put himself in a position to get hit? I direct your attention to Seattle, where Steven Hauschka has been leveled twice trying to make the exact same play. And McAfee's just like, nope, I'm a big drunken idiot, and I'm gonna just level him. I mean, he just went whole and
helmet
frankly,
to helmet.
He should have been called for helmet to helmet.
He should have been.
But I think the refs were just like, are you fucking serious? Yeah. That just happened?
And then after he got up, he puts his finger to his mouth. It's like, shh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just kind of walked away with
it. You don't want none of this.
I love that Holloway was trying to strut when really I thought it was, please put my spine back where it goes.
I remember watching Holloway play. He's a small guy.
He's a small guy, and you know, and for a punter, he's a pretty big punter. He's like 6. He's 6 something, 230 pounds.
Yeah,
I mean that's pretty big.
No doubt. But
my Pone Zone. It wasn't a very hard hit, but Eli Manning got sacked by Jared Allen.
Oh. Oh my god, it was amazing. Yeah. He like Jared Allen became Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
Reached around the blocker and just grabbed his jersey. Yeah. And just held him there until someone else could get there.
The best thing about it is I'm going to send you a link to the GIF. The face that Eli Manning made, he looked like he shit his pants.
He's got me. He's like in a horror movie. What's got me? What's got me? Yeah. Who's holding me?
To be fair, Eli Manning, that's his default face.
Yeah, that's true. That mouth-breathing dummy. Hey, congrats to the Giants for getting a single win in 7 games. Continue to celebrate in the locker room like you've just made the fucking playoffs.
You sound like Red Fox. That mouth-breathing dummy.
Big dummy.
But getting back to the end, to the indie punter,
Pat McAfee.
I really do think you should point out what his tweet was when he got the notice. I don't know if you guys saw.
It was
or
something
not.
Like, I guess
it must be my bod.
It's like must be my bod. Hashtag upper body of an adolescent.
That, but again, it just sheds light on how ridiculous the NFL is at policing its own shit. Like, really? Because the guy made a hit, you're going to give him a quote-unquote random drug test?
That's an honor.
That is, yeah, it is. That's the thing, is it's a fucking compliment. It's like, you hit him so hard. It's the exact same thing that happened to Bob Sanders for years. Even when he was in high school, they were making him take drug tests, because they're like, there's no way a 17-year-old kid hits that hard. Oh, wait, no, there is, because he did, without drugs. Thank you very much.
It's the opposite of the Kevin Love White Guy Award.
Oh, and by the way, at the Colts-Broncos game, Marvin Harrison was in attendance, so I think technically that qualifies it as an episode of The Wire. So that's amazing. My honorable mention for Pwn Zone is the security guard at the Jaguars Stadium who got leveled by receiver Justin Blackmon.
Nice.
So there is that as well. So from there, we're going to go to our frittata of the week. Gotta love 8-bit music. Gotta love it. All right. I don't know if you guys have listened to the final product of the show, but I found an 8-bit version of the theme from The League, and nice. That is what plays when I announce the frittata. Nice. In my frittata of the week, JC and I are going to be coming at the same issue from different directions here. My frittata of the week is Vikings coach Leslie Frazier, because Leslie Frazier went out, you know, Matt Castle and Christian Ponder both hurt, decides to go out and get Josh Freeman, who famously did not get along with the Bucs' new head coach and was unceremoniously dumped a couple weeks ago. He goes out and grabs Josh Freeman to, for some unknown reason...
Well, he's a free man.
He is a free man. He's a free agent. And they decided he was going to be the savior of the offense. I have no idea where they got this fucking idea. But sure enough, after only 4 practices... Freeman was playing like absolute garbage. He couldn't hit a receiver if the ball was magnetic and, you know, they were also made of magnets, or a better analogy. I mean, he just looked terrible. But you know what? Think about it in baseball terms, which I will. In baseball terms, what do you do after 3 innings if your pitcher is not doing their job?
You pull him.
You pull the fucking pitcher.
Yeah.
Christian Ponder was not injured. Like, he was suited up. Christian Ponder was not... injured to the point that he couldn't have come in and taken snaps, especially in that fucking game.
Yeah.
Because that game, neither defense, I mean, as a, you know, with the exception of Jared Allen, neither defense is really doing much of anything.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why you just leave a guy in as he slowly whittles away your only window of victory against an unwinning team.
Yeah, it was a strange game. I stopped watching after halftime.
It was embarrassing.
It was sort of boring.
But I did look at the stats afterwards, and I saw that Josh Freeman threw the ball 53 times, and he had 30 incompletions.
Yeah,
and
yeah, like, he's tied for the 4th worst quarterback rating for a quarterback that throws 50 or more passes.
To be fair to Josh Freeman, isn't a lot of passing, though, not so much, it's definitely skill, but isn't it timing with your receivers, especially if you have quick routes?
Again, yeah, right.
Then why throw the ball?
Then why put Freeman in the fucking game after 4 practices? That's what I don't understand.
Okay, no, I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
No, I was thinking you were getting on Freeman, but you're on the coach.
Leslie Frazier. Yeah. You're on the coach. Frittata, okay. Not Josh Freeman.
Okay, cool.
Josh Freeman shouldn't have been in that situation.
No, you're right. He put him in a bad, and that's the thing I think is really good, because the great thing about sports is it teaches you life lessons if you can actually sort of slow down outside of the sports to perceive it.
Yeah.
And one of the things it teaches you is that for this situation, you can have all the talent in the world, you can be a great quarterback, but if your system isn't right, and you don't have the practice under you, and you get put in a bad situation, it doesn't matter how good you are, and you're going to fail.
It makes you ask difficult questions like, how much of a degenerate was Mike Tice? Can we still get him on the phone? Mm-hmm, maybe he'll come back, because frankly, the 1-6, 1-7 now of the Minnesota Vikings. The fact that they went out and got Josh Freeman, which I don't understand why they thought that was going to work in the first place, and the fact that they wouldn't pull him out of the game as he is steering the ship into the iceberg. Leslie Frazier will not be the coach of the Minnesota Vikings next year, and you can fucking quote me on that.
He's USC's next coach.
He will not be in Minnesota next year. There is no chance. With that record, with that obvious to everyone, even in the cheap seats, poor management of personnel, there is no fucking way Leslie Frazier returns as the coach of Minnesota Vikings, and frankly, people in Minnesota should be celebrating that fact, like the Ewoks at the end of Jedi.
I've got to wonder, when you have the best running back in football,
thank you,
how you can possibly throw the ball 53 times.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, there was the fact, you know, I may have misspoke.
Even playing down.
I misspoke a little bit. It's not fair to say that the defenses weren't doing anything, because New York's defense toward the end of the game was doing some impressive things. You know, they were intercepting the ball, they were getting pressure, and they were stopping Adrian Peterson by playing eight or nine people in the box.
Yeah.
Which was a great strategy. And unfortunately, Eli couldn't really get the offense going at the beginning of the game. Finally, they found their linchpin. They found their secret weapon, and we're going to get to that in a second, because that's another one of my award recipients this week. But, you know, the defense was turning it on, and they were shutting down Adrian Peterson, so I understand the impetus to throw the ball. My question is, why can't Josh Freeman make even check-down passes to Adrian Peterson? Why can't he complete? I'm not talking about the long bombs where he's trying to throw it to people in the next county. I'm talking about even the short, easy passes where he's just not getting it to the receivers. Josh Freeman was, from the start, the wrong person for the job, was unprepared for the job, and when he was tanking, should have been removed from the job.
Yeah, because once you're in your head,
that's it. Yeah, there was no way after the first two series Josh Freeman was going to win that game. There was no way.
Yeah, it goes to show that the line between the worst team in the NFL and the best team in the NFL, it's not as thick a line as people think.
Yeah.
And you can't just insert anyone into the job. And even if it's something as simple as, oh, we'll just make him hand off all day, at some point he's going to have to pass. And he has to be prepared. And he just wasn't prepared.
Which is the reason why I don't think Tim Tebow is going to be the starting quarterback for any team.
Which is why Scar from Lion King should be a coach. Because they're always prepared.
If you take either of those two quarterbacks, you take Josh Freeman or you take Tim Tebow.
Mm.
If you need somebody to pass the ball, you're going to pick Josh Freeman.
Yeah.
It didn't work out this past week. And it probably won't work out, at least for another good 4 or 5 weeks, at least in that time
frame. Was it the Vikings that just picked up Jason Campbell and then he was immediately injured, or was that the Browns?
That was the Browns. Yeah.
Yeah, the quarterback issues around the NFL continue. Like, literally, the Browns, if you've been following that shitstorm of a situation.
Well, it's the same situation. You're right.
I mean,
it's almost the exact same situation.
Except Jason Campbell was smart enough to watch the Monday night game and go, oh, my ankle hurts.
Yeah.
I can't play, guys. I'm sorry.
You pulled a clowny?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I can't really speculate on that. I'm obviously joking, but maybe.
I don't want to be sued.
I don't want to be sued, that's for sure.
Yeah, and as long as we're on the Frittata thing, my second Frittata would be, and it's the second time I'm giving him this award, Brandon Merriweather.
Fucking Brandon Merriweather.
Because he, and I mean, you know, issues that we have with the rules and preventing of hitting and things like that aside,
there are people who are abusing their position as a defensive back, and he's one of them.
There are people who are headhunters, and he simply does that because he doesn't have any other skill. He can't cover anyone. All he can do is lead with his head and hit people.
He's like a skinny Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, and he finally got his comeuppance. He was issued a 2-game suspension. He appealed it and was reduced to 1 game.
That's bullshit!
First
of all, both of those hits could not be more flagrantly unnecessary. Yeah. I mean, he is after the play accelerating to jump and then hit them in the head with his helmet. Lowering the crown of the helmet, not even accelerating until after the whistle is blown, leaping through the air, hitting people with the crown of his helmet. That is absolutely a violation, and he absolutely deserved a 2-game suspension. And I'm with Brandon Marshall, who said during an interview, I want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, and at some point he has to learn or he won't get paychecks anymore.
Well, I mean, we say that, but again, let's look at Ndamukong Suh. How many times has he done this shit? How many times has he flagrantly broken the rules, stepped on people's extremities, and he's still allowed to play the game?
If this conference you at all, he's probably going to be broke in about 10 years.
Yeah, from all the fines.
Right.
Well, not even the fines. People who make those decisions to do that stuff, even though they know the rules, probably not managing the money that well. A lot of NFL players end up broke, and he's probably going to be one of them.
Well, there's also a big difference in talent between Ndamukong Suh and Brandon Merriweather. I mean,
yeah, and Ndamukong Suh is actually talented.
Suh is actually talented.
Yeah,
Ndamukong Suh is big.
No,
he's talented, but he's. I just don't think he's that talented.
I think he's not motivated.
He's not.
He's not motivated. He has all the fucking talent in the world.
Let's be clear. He's not talented enough to keep around if he becomes the kind of cancer that it's shaping up that he's going to be.
He's going to be a Terrell Owens, where it's like, look, you can be as talented as Dan Long, but you can get the fuck off my team.
You get sick of it as a team. You get sick of the negative attention. You get sick of all the fine letters. You get sick of...
One of the weirdest things about Suh is that his teammates actually like him.
Yeah.
His teammates like him. The only people who don't like him are...
The people he's stepping on, literally.
Exactly. It's his opponents.
The Mighty Ducks love Fulton Reed. I mean, they love the Bash Brothers.
Yeah. So
your other team
is... Ndamukong Suh is the Detroit Lions knuckle puck. That's what we're trying to say.
Right.
Yeah. That's a weird move.
Did you guys, anybody else have a frittata for this week?
No.
Not really.
I can't top that one.
I am out of the blue with no... I'm giving you guys... a Josh Freeman, and that means I'm not giving you any time to prepare for this. I am introducing a new award called He Got That Glow. Show enough. And the winner this week is, of course, Calvin Johnson, Megatron himself. I don't know if you guys saw this out there. He went up against three, not one, not two, but three of the Mighty Bengals defensive players in the end zone and just said, I will take that from off the top of your helmet. Thank you very much. I am Mr. Johnson.
Transformer rollout.
It was incredible. And it's not even the first time he's done this. The guy is ridiculous. He is an absolutely redonkers. It's not even a word, but I'm going to use it. He's a redonkers receiver. And I
saw that cartoon. It was a good cartoon.
And he's got that glow, man. He has got that glow and... funky.
He's feeling the flow.
He is feeling the flow, and don't let go of the power of elevation. And that definitely speaks to Calvin Johnson.
Speaking of which, if you like old 80s rock, like just cheesy rock songs, look for DJ Blood. They remixed all the songs.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the Blood Brothers mix.
Yes, it's so good. So great. Like, I worked out to it.
I was too.
Yeah, right.
And it was funny because like I was like, man, I've been on this treadmill for 30 minutes. I'm kind of tired. And then all of a sudden, like... Joe Esposito would kick on, or like the training montage from Rad, and the Never Retreat, Never Surrender.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Iron Eagle, yeah.
I was like, fine. Okay, so I just keep going, and sure enough.
Because it's like 35 minutes.
80s montage music is the best shit to work out to, especially
yes, it
when it hits Eye of the Tiger, and you're just like, well, fuck no, I'm not getting off this thing
now. And then
it's
the one from Rocky IV.
Oh my God, Hearts on Fire.
Not Hearts on Fire, In the Burning Heart.
Burning Heart. Yes.
For the 80s music aside. Sorry, I have to just say
before we go off on too much of a tangent, and once again before Adam is able to say it, reaffirm the fact that we do not listen to music after about 1998.
That's JC. That's so fucking true.
I think it's time for us to go into our fantasy report. Oh yeah, funky fantasy football for you. And again, you guys probably aren't aware of this, but right now, Earth, Wind, and Fire fantasy is playing. Because why not?
Hey,
because
we want to remember September.
We do.
Every now and then it joke works.
Alright, so guys, first of all, before we get into the leaders of the various leagues, I want to know who at this table won their matchup this week.
This guy.
Yeah? What about you, JC?
I did not.
Oh, so they were split because, inexplicably, once again, I have won. This is my first, but Adam also lost, so we were split down the middle. I have won two games in a row, which I did not think was possible for me this year. But, the worst part, though, is that next week, almost my entire starting lineup is on a bye week. So I've gotten some scabs to come in and fill in the holes. But
is Keanu Reeves going to be your quarterback?
Yes, it is the replacement situation with my fantasy football team. I think I got Jerome Simpson from Minnesota who couldn't...
Oh, don't you know?
Of course, I got him before I saw Josh Freeman play, and I was like, oh, fuck
You have somebody
me.
From the Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah. I picked up.
Looks like you picked up Jordan Reed.
Yep, I picked up Jordan Reed.
Oh, wow, that would have been a great pickup this past week.
I was hoping that. I hope next week he is equally good because he will be my flex player because I literally ran out of tight ends.
I tell you, though, you never know because, like, I had the same thing where my best players had a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just picked up some random people and put in the people I don't like playing.
If it's their week, man, then you benefit.
They just blew up. And, like, because, like, the guy I was going up, the computer estimated his score at, like, 150 at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And he was 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, I mean, he was on, I think, a 4-game winning streak. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to lose. And then just, like, Larry Fitzgerald had only 3 points.
Well, we'll get to him in a second. But before we get into our individual fantasy awards, the good and the bad, JC, tell us who is leading in the various leagues.
In my league, I'm just going by the team names. In my league, the two division leaders are The Opponent and Rohan's Rough Riders.
Nice.
Adam's league, it's Team Tote.
Fuck that guy.
is that your brother?
That's my brother.
Yeah. And the Springfield Spartans.
Nice.
In Elliot's league, it is Lynched by the Beast and the Vagabond Pillager.
I hate that name so much.
Lynched by the Beast?
Yeah. It's like, that's, is this Birth of a Nation or
borderline
something?
Borderline racist.
And in Brian's league,
Lynch is after Lynch,
it's the Huge Ditkas. It's your brother, isn't it?
My brother,
yeah. And Son of a Vondruk.
Son of a Vondruk did suffer their first loss. So last week, I think, and they are my week 8 opponent with the Scabs, so I'm probably not going to be seeing a three-peat. But anyway, yeah, those are the leaders, so congratulations to those teams currently leading in your leagues. And as we get closer to the end of the regular season, we will discuss our playoff structure and exactly how that's going to work, because frankly, we don't know yet. We have some fantasy awards to dole out, and the first one is the Rudy. Guys, who unexpectedly put up big points this week that you noticed or that benefited you? Elliot, we'll start with you.
I think I've already said it, but Chris Johnson.
Yes,
man,
absolutely.
Had a monster game out of nowhere and won me my game.
Yep, for the second time all season, he has earned a spot on my team. And I've been just, I have been a female pubic hair away from dumping him. Because I don't like the word cunt, so I will never say cunt on the air.
But people, that's not what that means, is it?
No, but that's just the closest approximation I can
come. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get
a cunt hair.
Sorry, this is why Joke is. I'm sorry about that.
Anyway, thank you for making me say cunt 5 times to explain that I don't like to say the word.
But you
cunt.
Said it before. You said when I said douche canoe, you said kayak. Remember?
A cunty kayak. Yeah. Yes, I know. But that was hilarious.
Anyway, word, though. Cunty.
The point being that Chris Johnson...
It's cunt-like.
Now we're at 10.
Cunt-esque.
11.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is why more taking women don't listen to this show. Anywho, yeah, I've come so close to dumping him over and over and over again, but I'm glad I didn't. JC, how about you?
I mean, I had a really bad week. On my particular team, Colin Kaepernick was the biggest scorer. But league-wide, besides Calvin Johnson, Vincent Jackson seemed to kind of come out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And he put up 38 points.
Shit.
Wow.
How about you, Adam?
Well, I was on the shit end of Vincent Jackson. Actually, you know what? Mad props to the guy who I faced last week, who had Jordan Reed from Washington, who put up 28 points. Vincent Jackson, who put up 38 points. AJ Green, who we would probably expect to have a pretty monster game, he had 30 points. Matt Forte, also a pretty good starter, had 36 points.
Yeah.
All this guy... All, yeah,
Matt
all
Forte someone, ran wild.
Yeah, he did. I had absolutely nobody to benefit my team at all. Actually, two of the players that we talked about getting season-ending injuries are on my team.
The Water Boys got beat.
Who did you have?
Oh, I had JerMichael Finley, who gave me good points before he damn near broke his neck.
Yeah, he had a great game before.
Yeah, and Reggie Wayne.
Oh, shit, dude. Losing Reggie Wayne, no matter Colts win or lose, great game, poor game, Reggie Wayne always catches passes.
Yeah.
You know? And he's targeted a lot.
So
in a point per reception league, you know, he's pretty valuable.
Even in garbage time, he's super valuable.
Yeah.
That is a blow, man. I apologize.
But
on behalf of all the Colts fans, I definitely apologize.
But neither one of those were either of the two biggest disappointments of my team that week. But for the Rudy Award, I did notice that Roy Helu had 23 points as the backup running back to Alfred Morris.
He had a great game.
3 touchdowns.
Oh, Alfred Morris is also injured, as it turns out, right?
Yeah, I think he's got a hamstring.
Yeah. And even though Michael Vick is injured, Nick Foles went down with a concussion, so he's got to go back and play again. So injuries running rampant this week. It was a bad day to be a football player. Anywho, we are not done yet. We also have the Rudy.
We just did Rudy.
Yeah.
Did we do Rudy?
We just did Rudy. No, we did Fredo. Did I call it Rudy?
Yeah.
You called it Rudy.
Oh, that's I'm sorry. Yeah. I just didn't name mine. I was like, I'm an idiot. No, I just didn't name my Rudy, who I actually think is sort of a real Rudy story, and that is Peyton Hillis. Peyton Hillis, who put up 18 points, which is respectable. It's even more respectable when you think about the fact that last week he was a volunteer running back coach at a high school. And, he was the cover of Madden in 2010, had a great season with Cleveland, he gets bounced out of there, then he gets bounced out of Kansas City, gets bounced out of Tampa, and yeah, he was a volunteer running backs coach for a high school when the Giants gave him a call. I mean, as awful as that game was, and it was worse than watching a demo mode on Tecmo Bowl, that's how bad it was, but Hillis was a difference maker. I mean, that guy finally got the Giants offense moving. He got a touchdown. He started moving the ball well. I mean, I think, especially with the fact that they're on their like fifth and sixth string running backs in New York, I think Hillis is going to be a staple, a fixture of that offense for a long time.
And Mark Wahlberg will play him in the movie.
Yes, indeed. I mean, this is like, again, this is somebody who isn't coming from nowhere. I mean, somebody had a great deal of success just 3 years ago, but a lot has changed in that 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Peyton Hillis is in 2010 when he was on the Madden cover, that's when people put a lot of stock into the Madden curse, and nobody wanted to be on the cover, and the only one they could find was Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
And it nearly killed his career.
And it's, you know, and it's, people talk about that Madden curse being ridiculous, but if you go back and look at, I would say the last 10 Madden covers, at least 8 of those guys have either had season-ending injuries, got traded to a team where they didn't have as much success, or had a Peyton Hillis situation.
I'd say the only,
that Madden curse is nothing to fuck around with, even if you're not superstitious.
I'd say the only one that I think did fine, I think Drew Brees was the 12.
I think Drew Brees might be the exception.
I think after 2010, when the curse like effectively killed Peyton Hillis' career, it was kind of okay after that.
You know who you've never seen on the cover of Madden?
Peyton
Manning.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly believe it's because he believes in the curse.
Hey, he's from the South. He's from around New Orleans. Of course, so
it didn't stop voodoo. Him from getting injured in 2011.
Anyway. I also have to think that there's a pretty good. I think if you were to look in the years past, and I may be basing this off of Dallas, which may not be the best barometer for it. But if you look at teams who pick up running backs, or running backs tend to start as the season's already kind of progressed, they do tend to have better seasons than normal. And I wonder if a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're coming in with completely fresh legs against worn-down defenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. And plus there's less tape on them.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but, you know, defenses get tired. Like, they get tired. You know, not tired just in-game, but 16 games is a lot. I mean, after 6 games in the NFL is a good deal of punishment to put on your body. And coming in with fresh legs, especially with somebody who's a punishing running back, somebody with some muscle behind their legs, that can get hard for defenses to kind of try to keep up with.
Yeah, there's a lot of value to fresh legs, and people criticize the older veterans who choose to skip training camp, and guys like Tony Gonzalez who didn't even go to training camp because he was contemplating retirement. He just said, "I'll show up the week before the season."
Right.
And people criticize him for that, but that's a smart move for those older guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to come in with you know, unbeaten, fresh legs, you haven't had contact. I mean, after a certain period in your career, you know what to expect coming into the league. And if you know if you know the playbook,
and you know your body.
There's very little that you have to really prepare for.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of conditioning that you need, but I mean, a guy like Peyton Hillis is smart, so he can adapt into the offense really easily. Von Miller had an okay game last week, but he's going to be a beast next week.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of defenses, did y'all hear about the Houston Texans? They waived some players for smoking
marijuana?
Yeah, because
that's
the frittata of the week right there.
Here's the thing. Yeah, because linebacker is really a position where you have so much depth you can just decide to be morality police.
Yeah.
It's fucking retarded with
that. Let me get this straight. Football players are smoking weed. Why the fuck are you policing that?
This is symptomatic of the larger problem that is going on in Houston that has turned them from a sure Super Bowl contender into they'll be lucky if they finish third in the division.
Sam Montgomery got waived. A great player. Yeah.
just because of weed.
He walked into the room.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Ricky Williams is like, are you kidding me? I smoked during the game. Anywho, we do have one more award to give out, and it's not the Rudy. It is, in fact, the Fredo.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart.
Because you broke my heart. These are the players that broke our hearts in fantasy football this week. I'm not going to give mine first, but in a completely unrelated note, JC, can you look up how many points Tony Gonzalez had? I won't tell you who my candidate is. It'll be a surprise, but if you could look that up for me. Elliot, I will start with you. Who was your biggest disappointment fantasy-wise this week?
Well, I don't know if it counts as a disappointment if it really helped me, but Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, somebody playing you had?
Yeah, he got 3 points, and I thought he was going to murder me.
Yeah.
Because I think it was the Thursday night game. Because Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. It was just like, I knew I had a chance when he only got 3 points.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to lose badly.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's my Fredo.
Absolutely.
He made my heart. He didn't break it.
I mean, I wasn't going to win no matter what this week. but it did not help the fact at all that the biggest heartbreaker was Arian Foster. Played one series.
One series, gets injured.
Yeah.
That was... Hopefully it's not... I mean, have they talked about that? Is he out for the season?
He isn't out for the season. I think he was questionable going into the game because he's been coming in with injuries almost from week to week. But they're coming in. They have a bye this week.
Yep. Yet another player injured this week. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But he's not out. It's not updated that he's out for the season.
Yeah.
But the fact that they do have a bye this week does give him some time to recoup or whatever it is that's going on with his body.
What's crazy is that if you took all the players that got injured this week, you would have a pretty decent Pro Bowl team.
Oh yeah,
like it would be one collective Pro Bowl team.
And I tell you, it shows you just how punishing
it's the a game dangerous is. Game. It absolutely is.
My Fredo on my specific team was Nick Foles, who put up 9 points
and then got injured.
Yeah, although league wide, I think if anybody started Jay Cutler, he put up an actual donut with 0 points before he got injured.
Yeah, that is too bad. My Fredo might be Tony Gonzalez, depending on... If I remember correctly, I was looking around the league. How many points did he put up?
5.
5 points! Tony Gonzalez, one of the best tight ends in the whole league. Luckily, he wasn't on my team. But still, and this was actually one of the rare weeks where I looked at my bench and I went, I'm glad I didn't play any of you. And and my receivers right now are not standout stars. I have Michael Floyd and I have...
But they're solid.
They are, and I have Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright and Michael Floyd don't do ridiculous 30, 25-point games, but they are in double digits every single week. These guys are workhorses.
And that's what you need.
And they have been great for me. I have been so happy with, like, and I don't want to jinx anything, but they literally, neither one of them has put up less than double digits since week one, week two.
Yeah, and that's something that's so valuable. It's sort of related to, like, at my job, we have this one person who, she's great at her job, but she's not flashy.
Yeah.
She's just a workhorse. And my boss is like, well, we don't know if we want to keep her. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. She does her job. She's amazing at it. She just doesn't talk about it.
Sure.
That's who you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's who you want on your team. That's who you want in your workplace.
If I could be a little presumptuous and take the seat of our guru for just one night, that would be my advice to you, and I'm the last person at 2-4 who should really be giving advice. But don't get caught up in the fact that you have... I had to trade away Miles Austin.
Yeah.
And any other year who I traded him for, I would have gotten trade raped. But Miles Austin is a big name who has done absolutely nothing all year because there are too many targets in Dallas, and he's got this hamstring injury that he's not as fast as he used to be. He's a big name doing nothing for me, and instead I got Garrett Graham.
Yeah,
I got the tight end from Houston because Owen Daniels, who was my regular tight end, was injured. Now I'm not even so sure about Garrett Graham. Is he still healthy? It seems like I have to like flip a coin to figure out.
No, but that's good. You work with what you have. What you want.
I didn't have a problem getting rid of Miles Austin because even though he's a big name, he wasn't consistent. He had one big game this entire year. One. And it's not worth continuing to put him in to get 4, to get 5, to get 3 points.
And hoping just for that one big game.
Because of the stock in his name.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. He's turning into, even when he does get healthy, he's turning into the fourth target for Tony Romo.
I mean,
Terrence Williams is starting to increase his, Romo's getting very comfortable with him. And he's always comfortable with Witten and Dez Bryant.
It sounds like Miles Austin needs a Jerry Maguire to encourage him to get his Quan back.
Yeah,
get over that middle some more.
I mean, I'm pretty. I wouldn't be surprised to see with Terrence Williams coming up pretty big
this past year, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Miles Austin playing for another team.
Yeah.
In 2014. If he plays at all, because this hamstring injury he's had for the past 3 years. It's the same injuries. Like,
oh wow.
I mean, he just can't make it through a season with whatever hamstring injury he has.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't even know that.
A lot of these players have been playing most of the time since they were like 10. They've been playing at Pop Warner, then they play middle school, high school, college. You know, your half-life, this is your time to make your money and play in the NFL. And you get that one injury that's the deck of cards and it just starts falling.
Yep.
And for Miles Austin, I mean, he wasn't necessarily coming in. He wasn't coming into stardom young. You know, he was a backup wide receiver for Dallas for I think almost three or four years before he got the starting job. And he got the starting job because one of the wide receivers got injured and he had a monster game against Kansas City that they couldn't warrant putting him on the bench after that. He had like 250 yards receiving, and that was his Pro Bowl year. And the year after that, he started getting the hamstring injury. But he was already, I want to say, like 27 years old around that point. Like, he was getting into, he was already at that peak year, not coming in young and starting to peak.
Yeah, once you get past about 29, that's when you're not going down. Like, you're not 36 or anything, but you're past your peak.
Yeah. I mean, when you start getting into the later 20s for skill positions, like, you're getting towards your way. You're getting on that, like your way out.
Quarterbacks can last a little bit if you protect them.
Yeah.
Kickers just are fucking dinosaurs.
Of course, you know, age aside, nobody can really predict what'll happen year to year. But speaking of predictions, that brings us to the Inside the Locker of Penn Sieve. Yes, thank you, John Williams, for that. I appreciate it. This is, of course, the segment of the show where we try to pick the winners for all of the NFL games in the coming week. And before we do that, I do have to sadly announce that I have been dethroned as the king of the ITL Penn Sieve at 55-36.
Ding dong, the queen is dead.
Says the guy who usually drinks red wine during the
show. Damn right. It goes to my head.
At 55-36, JC DeLeon is now in the lead. I am right behind with 54-37, followed by Adam at 51-40, and bringing up the rear is Elliot with 48-43.
Ooh, I'm breaking 500.
You were the only person who picked the Cards last week, Elliot, who lost. And JC, again, I don't know how he did this, but he picked all the upsets. He picked the Jets over the Patriots. He picked the Panthers over the Rams. He picked the Steelers over the Ravens. It's insane. Adam, by the way, is the only person who picked the Giants over the Vikings. So, congratulations on what I assume is a coin toss.
They had to win one time.
That Panthers defense is no joke.
And they're going into that's the first game on this schedule for Week 8 against the Bucks. So, JC, since you won, and I always start with you anyway, who do you think is going to win this one?
I'll go with the Panthers.
All right. And we might just want to start copying everything that JC says. Adam!
Yeah, because I'm with Carolina.
All right. Elliot?
Panthers.
All right. And only because, not because JC said we should, but because I wanted to, and also the Sam Bradford thing has me concerned, I will go, Sam Bradford? That's not even the right team. So, yeah, I guess I am just copying JC. Anyway.
So, I guess the two winless teams in the NFL now are both from Florida?
First of all, nobody's been talking about that, about the fact that the Buccaneers are also 0-6.
Yeah.
Nobody's
even
mentioned
know
that.
They've been
sweeping that shit under the rug. They've been talking about the Giants. They've been talking about the Jaguars. Nobody has fucking mentioned the fact that...
I thought they had won one.
Everybody thinks they won one because they're not, like, they're not because, making...
They're putting up numbers. They're scoring touchdowns. Yeah. Their defense
They're in close just, games. They're yeah. absolutely in close games, but that doesn't really matter when you're 0-6.
Yeah, close doesn't count.
That's right. Yeah. Except in horseshoes, hand grenades, and paternity cases. So the next game is the Cowboys versus the Lions. JC?
I'm going to go with the Lions.
Wow, okay. Adam?
I'm going with Dallas.
Elliot?
Cowboys.
Don't copy JC. Don't copy JC.
That's a hard one, I mean, because...
I'm banking on the Cowboys being pretty happy after that Philadelphia win. And
you're making them
too comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm pulling a Cowboys.
I'm going with the Cowboys as well. Browns and Chiefs. JC?
God, I can't believe it. I mean, you can't deny the
Chiefs. I already wrote it.
The Chiefs being undefeated, so yeah.
I already wrote it. Chiefs all around. Anybody want to?
Browns.
Really?
Just to be different.
Just in the hopes that you might.
I mean, if the Browns had a steady quarterback, I would. Because again, I mean, I think the Browns also have a defense that can.
Yep.
They can keep Kansas City in check, but I don't see Cleveland putting up any points at all.
I worry about being undefeated because you start. It's impossible for, in my opinion, I'm not a scientist, but it's impossible. I know.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I know. I'm saying that because, like, I can only say my opinion. It's hard for human beings to have success and to keep up that level of work. And when you're 7-0, it's really easy to not work as hard during that week. And then maybe take a playoff during the game.
I can see that, but the way Kansas City is winning, they're not winning. They're not winning by Denver scores.
Yeah. No, the Houston game was the closest they've come to losing, and they fought every inch.
They have the smallest number of 20-yard gains, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
what I mean, though. It's like they're not blowing people away, so if they let up at all, they could lose.
That's true. I just don't think it'll be to the Browns. Mm. So, Patriots-Dolphins, do we see the possibility of the Pats dropping two in a row to division rivals, knowing that in years past, the Dolphins have always inexplicably had the Patriots' number at least once during the regular season. I'm just going to throw that out there. JC, Pats or Dolphins?
If it wouldn't be the week after a loss, I would say the Dolphins, but I'm going to say the Patriots.
Adam?
I'm also going to say New England.
Elliot?
Patriots.
I hate the Patriots, but yes, I will go with the Patriots.
I mean, the Patriots are literally one new penalty away from not losing last week. Yeah. So.
All right, the Bills and the Saints. JC.
Saints.
Adam.
I almost want this to be my upset for the week, but no, I'm going to say New Orleans.
All right, Elliot already wrote yours, and I'm going with Saints. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to against the Saints?
I had a hymn I was going to sing, but okay.
Oh, go for it.
Seek ye first the Saints to win. Go ahead.
Okay. So Saints. That was beautiful. I'm really glad that happened in my ears. we have the Giants and the Eagles. JC.
The Eagles look really bad. I'm into the Eagles.
Do we know if Vic is starting this week?
He is.
Vic is going to start. Whether he'll last the whole game or not is an issue. And if Matt Barkley has to come in, then it's bad news for the Eagles. But, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say New York.
Elliot.
I'm going with Giants.
The New York football Giants. Peyton Hillis is looking good. Nobody else on the team is. I'm going with Eagles. 49ers, Jags, JC.
49ers.
That was an easy one. Adam.
49ers.
Oh, yeah, the Jags. Okay.
49ers.
Yeah. I'm just writing 49. I'm not even asking you guys anymore. Okay. Jets versus the mighty Bengals.
Man, this is my pick to be game of the week is what I think is going to end up turning out.
These are two teams that know how to win late in the game.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
J-E-T-S. There's
something really likable about that team that we thought was going to be so awful, and they're just...
That's not Rex Ryan.
He's not the likable part of it. Adam.
Yeah. I'm going to say Cincinnati.
Elliot.
It's weird because both these teams can be so schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the Bengals.
I swear to God, if the Jets win and JC moves ahead more. Anyway, Steelers, Raiders, JC.
What would you pick?
I picked the Bengals. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me.
I'll go with the Raiders.
What are you doing to me, Guru? Adam.
I'm gonna say Pittsburgh.
Elliot.
I'm going to say the Raiders.
I'm going with the Steelers. Broncos, Redskins, JC.
Broncos.
Yeah, they're going to be pissed after that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Adam?
Denver.
Elliot?
Yeah, Broncos.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let that one slip away from them.
The line must be drawn here.
Falcons versus the Cards. Let me go ahead and put in Cards for Elliot.
Damn right.
Because of LSU and stupidity.
Hey, come on.
I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm just saying because of a general error of
you
stupidity.
You bicycle fast backwards.
JC.
Cardinals.
Adam.
I think I'm also going to say Arizona.
I am also going with Arizona. But not because of the LSU players.
No. I was going to say, how sad is the story of Atlanta Falcons this year?
It's heartbreaking.
It's not as sad as the Rams story is going to turn out to be.
Yeah, it's true. All right, we got the Packers-Vikings. JC.
Packers.
Adam.
Green Bay.
Elliot.
Packers.
Yeah, that one's pretty easy. When we just watched two of the worst teams battle it out on Monday night.
And yeah, this is how mismanaged the Vikings are. So they came out today and said that Josh Freeman is going to be their starter. Then a few hours later go, oh, wait, he has concussion symptoms. Maybe Christian Ponder's going to be the
His
starter.
His concussion symptoms. No. He just can't throw the ball. Yeah. That wasn't because of a concussion. That's because he has no talent.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Oh, good Lord.
Seahawks and Rams. JC.
Seahawks.
Yeah, I think so, too. Adam?
Seattle.
Elliot?
Seahawks.
Yep, Seahawks all the way. And that is locked in for the Penn Sieve this week. We will have to see if JC the Guru stays in front or if I am able to unseat him and reclaim the throne that is rightfully mine.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
Do we want to do a Pensy for the World Series? You know, who do we think is going to take it?
Do you want to do? Well, yeah, we might as well do that now. I mean, I mean, we're kind of cheating because Boston. We know Boston's won the first game.
Yeah,
but just for the shit of it,
I'm going to say St. Louis.
Okay, well, at least to make it interesting.
Did you really just do least that just so you could pick the wrong team?
I won the wrong team.
How's this?
I'm just kidding.
At least to make it more interesting, call the team and then call the number of games you think it's going to be.
There you go.
Okay. How's that?
There you go.
I say St. Louis in 7.
All right. Adam?
I say Boston in 5.
And JC?
Go Boston in 6.
And I'm going to go Boston in 4.
Need to do a sweep.
Yep.
I mean, just like the last time today.
Just like the last time these two teams met in the World Series, I think it's going to be a 4-game sweep.
The Red Sox do have that Team of Destiny thing with whenever they need a grand slam. Oh, hey, here's Big Poppy.
Yeah. Yep. They just wish for it. It wasn't Poppy this time around. It was
well,
Poppy did it the first time.
Poppy did it once.
Yeah. Victorino. Yeah, Victorino was the one that nailed it in the last game.
Let me give a big shout out to Jordan Worth Cobb.
All right.
He has the best Facebook updates about the world, about baseball. He is more excited than I've seen anybody be. It's awesome. It's infectious how exciting he is.
Nice. Right on. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Again, please do consider becoming a subscriber to oneofus.net. Just right over there on the sidebar, you'll see a place where you can donate $1 to $25 every month or make a one-time donation. Whatever you can afford, you can cancel at any time. We do appreciate you helping us continue to create content for you. Follow us on Twitter at ITLcast. We need more Twitter followers, guys. JC is every Sunday tweeting the funniest shit you will read about football, and you're just missing out if you don't follow. So that's at ITLcast. You can also follow us individually. I am at Bryguy Salisbury.
At ITL Elliot.
At JC Dillion 1.
At the underscore beef.
Beef.
And once again, please do consider purchasing our commentaries. Watch a movie with us. Halloween and Carrie currently available. At least one more should be available this week, and then there will be another next week. And, yes.
Isn't Carrie on Netflix?
Carrie is on Netflix. So that's you don't
get the movie.
You don't even have to own it.
Yeah.
For $2, you can watch a movie right there on Netflix with us. In fact, all of the movies that we're doing for the rest of October are also available on Netflix. So you don't have to own those movies either. And you really, like, the only one that right now, the horror movies that we've done that isn't available on Netflix is Halloween. And if you don't own Halloween going into the Halloween season, you're kind of doing Halloween wrong. So that's all I'm going to say. Elliot, you're looking sheepish, which has me concerned. Anyway, this has been Inside the Locker. I hope you guys have enjoyed yourself. We will be back next week with more awards, more random chatter, and more horribly offensive things. We will probably say cunt less, which is good for us.
No promises.
No promises there. Until next week, always remember, just because you're a free man doesn't mean you're the right man.